Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or in a chair with your feet flat on the floor, unless that hurts, in which case just sit comfortably. And I want to continue this week our conversation that we started last week about magic and how it sort of manifests on three levels, outer, inner, and secret. And how do we invoke magic on the outer level, the inner level, and the so-called secret level? We started last week with the outer level and how magic, which is defined, by the way, not as casting spells or doing tricks, but as realizing and connecting with the wakeful, vibrant, vital aliveness of every moment and riding the waves of our lives with confidence. And here we see that confidence to live your life, to see things clearly, is not predicated on liking yourself, although that's good, or feeling like, oh, I can do this well and I'm strong in that sense. Those things are good too. But here, confidence, rather than something that comes from within, in the discussion of outer magic, we viewed it as something that can come from our environment, something that can come from out here. So we can draw magic, draw confidence in from the way we organize our environment. And I don't mean like be perfectly organized or anything like that, at least I hope not, because I certainly am not. But by caring about our belongings, the order that we create in our worlds, that we keep our environment neat, clean, not obsessive, compulsive, neat, clean, but just because you care. I told a story last week about visiting someone who on to all external appearances was a very humble person living a very humble life. But I suddenly realized when I was in her home that there was a full display of magic happening around me. Everything seemed to glow. Everything seemed delightful and peaceful and beautiful, not because her belongings were expensive or nothing like that. Everything looked very ordinary at first glance, but because she had cared about her environment, cared about each object, cared about the way things were placed and kept them clean and so on, you could feel that her heart had gone into the environment, had been absorbed by her possessions. And so when I was in her space, I felt that I was in her heart, and it was a beautiful, wonderful place to be. So the second kind of magic, inner magic, where does that come from? How do we manifest magic on an inner level? So interestingly, as I was thinking about this morning, I realized that none of these forms of magic have anything to do with your thoughts. I think in our world, there's a sense that I can make magic. I can attract what I want, and I hope you will. I can create the happiness and abundance and the things I want by the way I think, by the way I hold my thoughts, by the thoughts I choose to invest in and the thoughts I choose to let go of on good days. This has nothing to do with that. You can think whatever you want. Here, rather than the way you think being the inner manifestation of magic, it has more to do with the way you inhabit and hold and treat your body and the way you move through the world physically. In very ordinary ways, we're not talking about becoming, you know, ballet dancers and super graceful. Again, at least I hope not, because I can be klutzy like most people. But here, if we started last week with get your environment, not perfect, but in some way that to you expresses your dignity and if that might be a small job if you're basically neat and tidy, or it could be a big job if you're not. And so, okay, start with something small was the suggestion. Now here, we move to what happens here in this body. Would I wear? Would I eat? So again, these are very ordinary things, and it so happens that there's a lot of baggage attached to what I wear, and especially to what I eat. So we're going to get to that one second. So the baggage with what I wear is, do I look good? Is this fashionable? Are my, who am I appearing to be by wearing this outfit? Yeah, I think about those things. Those are not unimportant things. But here, what you wear and its connection to magic is again about caring about what you wear. In other words, if you pick your sweats up off the ground, which we all do from time to time, and get dressed and go about your day, that tells magic, come back another day, not today. But if you keep your clothes clean and you put them away in some orderly fashion and you choose them each day from a sense of delight, not because your clothes are fancy, I'm pretty sure everything I'm wearing right now is from the Gap, so I don't think it's fancy, but do I like it? Does it fit me? Do I like the way it feels when I put it on? You know, you can't see, my jeans have holes in them, but I don't mind that. By the way you clothe yourself, you begin to invoke inner magic. You get energy and confidence from the way you treat yourself. Not, oh, I'm the most important person, therefore I have to think only of myself. No, it's like if you loved yourself, if you loved someone else and you were charged with dressing them, and you wanted them to feel beautiful, and you wanted them to appreciate the way things felt on their skin, and you wanted them to be proud when they left the house, or even just hanging around the house, that's how you could clothe yourself. Clothing isn't normally thought of as part of the spiritual journey, but here it is, because it can be an expression, a very close to the skin expression of how you feel and care for yourself in a very ordinary way. And there, a kind of upliftedness is yours if you care about these things. We're in a world that prizes casualness. And, oh, it's not important, I just threw any old thing on, I don't care. Well, that's the antithesis of what we're talking about here. You can throw any old thing on, but if it's something that you love and something that expresses self-care, that's all you need. That's all you need. But sometimes I think we embrace casualness as a sort of, I'm too good to care, I'm above this. And that is usually the opposite is true. Usually it's a sign of some kind of insecurity, perhaps, or fear. I'm afraid to show up in my full suit of goodness because for whatever reason I might have. So that's the first step in the inner magic realm. The second step is what you eat. Now I want you to stop whatever you're doing, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. Look at me. I am not talking about your health. I'm not talking about being vegan or giving up gluten or dairy, or if you want to do those things, you should do them. Those are really good things. But that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about how you can draw magic from the way you feed yourself. So often the way we feed ourselves, and I'm speaking very much from personal experience, it's a gesture of self-aggression. You should eat this. I want you to be bigger. I want you to be smaller. I want you to look different. I want you to conquer something or other. I want you to have these good habits. But those things are usually not expressed from love for ourselves. They're expressed from lack and self-aggression. So here, the way you eat can be similarly imbued with care as you do with your clothes, as you do with your physical environment. by caring about the taste, the presentation, perhaps, like, you know, just slop something on a plate, but you put, if this goes in a bowl, you serve it to yourself in a bowl, as opposed to slopping it on a plate. If this goes in a mug, you could use a mug instead of a bowl. Just some sort of elegance in the way you serve yourself your food. Even if you're eating, like, you know, a to-go from the market down the street, and you're eating it while you're walking, you can still enjoy it. You can still be like, this is what I wanted, and I'm going to taste it. I'm going to note what it smells like. I'm going to enjoy it. And as best you can, pay attention to the quality of what you eat and drink to the best of your financial ability. So if you want to be vegan, and that's really a good thing, I'm not a vegan for various reasons, but great, get good quality vegetables and grains or juices, whatever it is that you feed yourself, try to make it the best quality you can. And if you eat other things, if you have, you know, a chicken sandwich or butter with toast, try to make the toast like this. I like my bread toasted well, and I like this kind of butter. Just, I'm not saying be pickety or persnickety. I'm saying give yourself what you enjoy. Care about how you feed yourself, whatever it is that you do, and try to give yourself the best quality you can. And then when you eat, taste it. When you clean up thoroughly. When things are done, you could put them away. I'm not talking about being obsessive. As I said earlier, I'm talking about caring. Caring. And as we care about our bodies and our environment, magic arises. Again, not the magic of I can have whatever I want by casting this spell, although I hope you will have whatever you want, but the magic of my world is alive and I can see it clearly and I can experience my own life, and therefore I can see what's auspicious and what is calling me and the signals that my life is giving me about what to do, what to say, what to choose. I'm in my world, so I can read it more accurately. This is magic, I would say. So next week we'll come to our third and final video about magic, which will be what's called secret magic. Can't tell you what it is right now. It's a secret, but we'll look at it. We'll look at it next week. And I'm just joking. It's not really a secret. Okay, so let's practice. Begin your practice by recognizing that you're in a body and you're probably wearing clothes, and feel them. Feel how they touch your body. Maybe you like, maybe you don't like. That's fine. Just what is happening right now? Because our body is meditating. So let's fully feel ourselves seated on a cushion or chair, or kneeling if you choose to kneel. Let your hands rest on your legs, palms down, and feel your own warmth. Are your hands feeling your legs, or are your legs feeling your hands, or somewhere in the middle? Just pay attention to that. Sit up straight and let the front body soften. The belly, the area around your heart, your throat. And let your shoulders soften. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. And the mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. Hello, little cat. Hey. Hey. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose. Yes, you too. Meaning no breathing technique, just breathing. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And if you're lucky, you'll see a cat, which I'm seeing right now. Let there be a sense of receiving through the eyes rather than seeking. And let the brow soften. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means feel the body breathe, not observe. We're not observing or noticing, we're feeling. The inhale and the exhale. The drawing in on the inhale and the letting go on the exhale. Receiving and offering, receiving and giving. At the same time, you're just breathing, so. Let your mind be as it is. We're not trying to accomplish anything here. We're not trying to have no thoughts or change our thoughts. It doesn't matter. Just let your thoughts be as they are. The great majority will come and go on their own. However, if you notice that you become absorbed in thought, to the point where you are no longer aware of your breath, you spaced out, in other words, no problem. Notice that. Label that thinking. It's different than meditating. And then just let go. Softly, easily, let go. Come back to this breath and begin again. So we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes until you hear the bell ring. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. I'll see you next week.